Welcome to another remote edition of Irish Illustrated's Instant Analysis. I'm Tim O'Malley, joined by Tim Priester of Irish Illustrated and John Bryce of FootballScoop.com. And today, I think the media gathered for a five-segment session, getting ready to watch somebody else take number one reps or all the number one reps since quarterback Steve Angeli. He missed practice today with an illness, as did junior Tui Halamaka. But John, you followed the Irish offense for our brief viewing and get to see a lot more of Kenny Minchie and CJ Carr than I guess we ever have attending one of these practices.
Yeah, Gino Gadulli was brought in off the bench for action to fill out some of those quarterback drills, especially when they were doing route trees in the more advanced sessions later in practice. But it was Kenny Minchie early on, as Marcus Freeman jumped into a full team 11-on-11 set. It's Kenny Minchie guiding what would be the number one offense, at least today, the standard offensive line that we've seen. And it featured a quick handoff to Aeneas Williams, a quick handoff to Jeremiah Love, followed by a completed pass out in the near flat to Cooper Flanagan. He looked good, a couple of more runs, and then that shifted things into CJ Carr's control. Kenny Minchie did have a pass deflected, broken up by Clarence Lewis. It was a good throw. It was maybe just a hair late, not at all a bad throw. And Clarence Lewis just had really good coverage on the end route and broke on the ball and deflected it. But he seemed comfortable. CJ Carr looked comfortable. He worked with Aeneas Williams, quick handoff to him. He had a completion out to Cam Williams, a couple of more snaps. Then Notre Dame went into some indy drills and some other things like that. But definitely a heavy volume day for Notre Dame's two remaining scholarship quarterbacks who were able to practice. Should note, Riley Leonard was out at practice hobbling around on some crutches after his surgery. So still active, still around the team. And that was what stood out in the early going from the quarterback position.
Tib, you were searching the rookies today at practice while I had defense, but we had a chance to talk to running backs coach Dylan McCullough, and you had a chance to interview Jadarian Price, who we want to label a future lead back, whether his position coach likes lead backs or not.
Yeah, I asked Dylan McCullough if Jadarian Price was ready to be a lead back, and he acted like he's never had a lead back before.
Even though last year.
The estimate carried 215 times last year, but I get what he was saying, that he does. We all know he likes to use multiple backs, but Estime's gone. And I think Notre Dame fans should be excited about the combination of Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love. Jadarian Price impresses us every time he meets with the media, very mature. McCullough has wanted him to gain weight, and he's in the 204, 206 range. And that's about right for him. McCullough even said, I don't want him trying to carry bad weight. When he first started harping on his weight, it was, when Price was in the 185, 190 range. And so he's fine there. And then the interesting thing with Jeremiah Love is what you can do with him as a catcher of passes. They have him running routes as a receiver, not just throwing them out there and saying, hey, run a route. He actually does spend some time with the receivers to learn some of the nuances. And so When you put that together with what Mike Denbrock wants to do, a lot more 11 personnel, which Price acknowledged today that they're doing that, it's really exciting. Of course, Jabron Payne is the best blocker back there. Pad level is the best short yardage guy. He eventually ceded that spot to Audric Estime later in the season last year, as you pointed out, Tim. But it's a good group, and I think it's really, really exciting what Jadarian Price can do as probably the lead back, the guy that probably gets more straight handoffs.
Right.
With Denbrock as a coordinator, I think Jeremiah Love gets a whole bunch of touches, but in a different way than Price does. And Price kind of still bemoaned that he left some yards on the field in El Paso against Oregon State in the Sun Bowl. So he's looking great. Love is doing a variety of things. I think that combination together, especially with what they're doing with Love in the passing game, can be pretty lethal.
And Dylan noted as we were there, TP, that maybe Jadarian is perhaps considered the more traditional or natural running back, but that Jeremiah Love just has that twitchiness about him that allows him to showcase some versatility to be able to take some of those reps as a wideout. And also important to note, he said, look, this wouldn't be a conversation if he wasn't already grading so high at the running back position, saying you don't play for me unless you're grading at an 85, and noted that Jeremiah Love had been well above that 85. He talked about his certifications for two-minute and third-down backs. And I think, Price, you guys have a little more insight on Price talking about needing to earn his certification. I think he said that Jeremiah Love and Jabron Payne are the only certified backs in his book that are both third-down certified and two-minute drill, two-minute back certified.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, that certification, I was talking to Price about it, but that certification – comes from, look, Jeremiah Love wouldn't be taking snaps with the wideouts if he didn't have the third down certification as a running back. And so I want to point that you mentioned it, that him and Jabron Payne are the only two that have gained that notation with their name. Again, another exciting part of that offensive backfield.
And one more quick thing for me. Oh, sorry, Tio. One more quick, super quick thing for me on Dylan McCullough that I picked up on that he said downstairs. And we've touched on this before on our podcast on Irish Illustrated and at Football Scoop as well. Dylan McCullough was approached by multiple programs in the offseason with an opportunity to move on into some high-profile running back positions, maybe also get a title or maybe return to the NFL. He made it clear he's very happy here at Notre Dame. He was responding to Marcus Freeman saying he's a future head coach. Again, Dylan leans into that. I personally believe he's a future head coach, but he did make it clear that he was approached again this offseason. He obviously has remained with the Irish. I think he's incredibly, incredibly valuable what he's brought to this program.
You guys mentioned Jeremiah Love's grade is high enough so he can dabble a wide receiver. The guy that's grade is always high is who Dylan McCullough called the silent assassin in Jabron Payne. He will not lead them in carries. He will not lead them in snaps, but he will be having multiple roles again in this offense. I think short yardage fits him well. It makes a lot of sense that Audric Estime took it from him last year, because once Audric Estime decides his pad level can be low enough, he can create some damage that Jabron Payne can't quite do. But in terms of grades, because I want to touch on Aeneas Williams, just very briefly, that's what we did with Coach McCullough. He had a perfect grade on Saturday. 100% grade out. And then, of course, Dylan McCullough left and hasn't been close since. So he is a tough grader, I'm sure. But that's good news that Williams could come in and have a good day. And I think McCullough touching on points like, hey, like, we grade everything, man. Your footwork is off. You're getting dinged for it, because it all leads to being a more complete, consistent back. And I go back to even Tony Alford and Autry Denson. They used to talk about – Alford would talk about Torian Fulston as a freshman who did play. He's like, your foot is off. Your foot is 3 inches off before the snap. And it's something we don't understand if you're not a running backs coach, but Dylan McCullough certainly drills down the details.
It's a little bit of inside the headset, so to speak, but it was really interesting, T.O., to hear Dylan talk about that. And we asked him specifically, like, so, you know, aside from grading the obvious stuff, whether it's a missed tackle or a fumble or, you know, not being able to break a tackle or missing a block or a fumble or something like that, what else are you grading? And he said, we're literally grading down to the half-inch alignment in the backfield, and I can show them. I will show them. And then I asked him, followed up specifically, so you're telling me you've had a guy line up a half-inch wrong and been able to show him that he had a 3-yard gain instead of a 12-yard gain? And he went specifically to something that happened Saturday that he had gone over with the backs and said, the tailback in question asked him, like, okay, so what are you talking about? Why are you doing that? And Dylan said, just keep watching. And 3 plays later, they saw the result of proper alignment and proper execution. And I thought, again, that was very interesting. We know that Notre Dame has a lot of gifted people on its roster, but I continue to be impressed by the player development. That was one thing that stood out to me today from Dylan. And when we shift to the offensive line, I'll share a couple of things I picked up today from Joe Rudolph.
And Tim, you mentioned that I was looking at some of the younger guys and just completing my combing through the newcomers little mini series. And I have about a dozen more players that I wanted to look at. And, you know, I don't know that any – this is the third group that I've gone through. So it's some of the guys that really haven't emerged yet. I want to mention Devin Houston, the redshirt sophomore defensive tackle who – when I write it up, I'm going to double check what his weight was last year. I don't know how much of a difference there was in the fall, but that is a much quicker of foot defensive lineman, Devin Houston. And so that I'm not sure how much closer that brings him to playing time with the veterans that they have on the interior, but a guy that I think had jumped out a little bit at me with his quickness, Cole Mullins, who missed, I don't know, most or all of his senior season with an injury, is a guy that's a little bit bigger than I anticipated. He's listed at 240, still not that you know, that stout for defensive end. They were, when they were running some 11 on 11, he was in a three down front. He was in a defensive end position with Boubacar Traore, in a stand up position outside of him. So when I saw Mullins, I thought, okay, he's put together a little bit better than I anticipated. And then one more guy I want to mention right now, Sam Pendleton, who impressed last year as a true freshman, put himself in position to be a number two guard. Today he was working a lot at center. And so that tells me that, again, when it's like next man in, Sam Pendleton is on that list because they need a backup for Ashton Craig at center. Joe Otting has been taking those snaps. Today it was Pendleton. So to me, that's a sign, another sign that when you start looking at next man in, of course, Rocco Spindler is the next man in at guard right now, but Pendleton's there too, and they're giving him a look at center as well.
And JB, before we go back to the offensive line, just to put a bow on the defensive line, Mills and Cross were not there again. It was another Wednesday. They weren't there for the first five segments, I should say. We left. It was a Wednesday. Last Wednesday, they had a class commitment. It makes a little bit of sense. They might have had a class commitment this one as well. So Jason Onyeh and Donovan Heinisch during that quick 11-on-11 thud period were the ones with the first unit defensively goal, or four down front. And then, as Priester said, Cole Mullins was in there. Sean Sevillano came in as well with Traore and Burnham subbed in. So that was their 1-2, impacted, of course, by not having Mills and Cross there. But that's reps for two true freshmen inside. And that they said there's a silver lining to Mills and Cross doing other things, and that would be it. Early spring practice, getting looks at these guys. Those were live sessions. I mean, it was football other than not tackling. It was thudding up.
Yeah, and I noticed that about Pendleton, TP, especially as I made the trek and braved the feels like 22-degree temps to slide outside and follow the offensive line and their drills out on the practice field there. I saw Sam Pendleton get extensive work again at that center position, as the number two center. So it was interesting to watch his work in that regard. Also, some things that I picked up from that I really liked. They were working. Yeah, there's some video while Noah was out there with me. Props to Noah, the intern, out there shooting in the sleet. But they were working backside blocking. They were working leverage. I thought it was really interesting when Joe Rudolph said, if you're getting their level, then you're not winning. He said specifically that when you are, he also said, acknowledge what you see, but be calm with the presence. I thought that was good. And he told them, he harped so much on communication today and made it clear. He's like, guys, if you're not communicating, if you can't handle this, then maybe basically I've misjudged what you're able to install and incorporate and begin working on the practice field. You have to communicate. You have to acknowledge what you're seeing from the defense, but be calm and have a presence about you. And he used the fire hydrant analogy when he was working specifically with Emil Wagner, basically saying, center your base, be a plug, make it hurt for somebody to run into you, and don't give up ground. I thought that those were some really interesting elements today as I got to spend a little bit more time watching Rudolph, and I found it very interesting.
And Tim, let me jump in here again, please. Again, talking about the young guys in the offensive line. And John, you've pointed out this before. You really got to be impressed with Sullivan Absher. 6'7", 315, looks the part. I mean, absolutely looks the part of a left tackle. Now, you know, we don't have an opportunity to see practice live. I'm not sure where he is totally technique-wise, but that is a young guy that really, really looks good in a Notre Dame football uniform. 6'7", 315, flat back in his stance, a good knee bend, a guy that we're going to hear from in the future. Just not yet, because he's got a really good one in front of him in Charles Jagasaw.
Yeah, and let me just quickly say for the sake of getting the fine details out there. So when we saw those two brief series early in practice, the first one led by Kenny Minchie and the de facto number one offense, the second from CJ Carr. Let's just note the offensive line left to right that worked with with Kenny Minchie was Charles Jagasaw, Pat Coogan, Ashton Craig, Billy Schroth, and Tosh Baker. The second group going left to right was Sullivan Absher, Ty Chan, Sam Pendleton there at center, Rocco Spindler, and then Emil Wagner. So just for the sake of being detailed and getting that clearly outlined, that's the first two offensive line units, the top 10 that we saw today.
I want to finish this incident analysis. We could talk about Marty Biaggi and the special teams conversation we had with him on tomorrow's Irish Illustrated Insider podcast, but there was a segment. Tim Priester and I stayed inside in the warmth, and we were able to watch it. When I say goal line, I don't want people to think goal line drill, that they're at the 2 yard line when I give you this defensive alignment. It was goal line snaps from the 8 yard line. And I think it was an important segment of practice where Notre Dame was working its nickel coverages in there, because the coaches watching were Al Golden, Mike Mickens, Marty Biaggi, Max Bulla, and Marcus Freeman. So this was a big part of the early practice. That is the entire defensive brain trust involved in this. And we saw what you would expect. Clark was the first nickel, Jaden Mickey to the field, Clarence Lewis to the boundary because he's replacing Benjamin Morrison on the boundary while Morrison's out with the shoulder injury. Xavier Watts, of course, and Adon Shuler. They were followed by Micah Bell at nickel, Christian Gray at the field. And if you're wondering, people are wondering why Gray wouldn't just go opposite Mickey. Gray and Mickey are battling for the field spot opposite Morrison in the future, so they're going to keep doing that in practice. Yeah. And then, of course, I saw Chance Tucker out there, Luke Talich, and Ben Minnick, who is back now wearing number 13. I think I saw Kennedy Urlacher work in too, but it was interesting. It was all working on passing off crossing routes in nickel coverage. And then it got really interesting when they brought in linebackers too, because you all of a sudden had eight guys out there, which means it's a three down front. We didn't see any defensive linemen, but if you have three linebackers or five defensive backs, it's a three down front. And it was usually Jalen Snead and Jack Kaiser were joining the nickel. And then Jaden Osberry would come in and join the nickel as well. And they did work in KVA, the freshman. I noted that he was standing next to Marcus Freeman the first few reps, Tim, and then he worked himself in. So it struck me that the entire defensive brain trust was down here working on this for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. With regard to the young safeties, I mean, I think Urlacher is well behind the pack right now.
Yeah, he was involved in the session. That's
in evaluating these young guys, he's 5'11" and Minnick is 6 foot. It's just not an ideal size. I think Minnick, skill set wise, is probably pretty close to being able to contribute, but you know, the size is a bit of a limiting factor. We had a question from Sky Shark 425 of net positive or negative with the offensive line. We really haven't seen a ton of live stuff, and so I don't want to commit one way or another. But as JB was reading the first team and the second team, when you start putting the 10 guys together, and Absher's a backup, and Spindler's a backup, and Wagner's a backup, those are some guys that I don't think Ty Chan necessarily is really in the mix for playing time. And then you have Pendleton as the backup center. I think when you start adding all that up together, there's more than five offensive linemen there that could probably go in and play. Most of them are young, so we don't know exactly how they would, you know, handle live competition. But net positive or negative, I would say positive from the standpoint that I like the amount of bodies and the quality of the bodies in the player in the two deep on the offensive line.
That was exactly, I was getting ready to try to make sure we addressed Scott Shark's question when you chimed in on Kennedy Urlacher there just a moment ago, TP. But that was going to be my point. Look, we'll know a lot more after April 13 when we get to see our next full practice, and I think that's set to be a scrimmage. We'll have a better idea of the tackles. Particularly, I want to see a lot from the right tackle position. But as I wrote the practice report today, as I stood out there, I would say I'm net positive on the sum of the parts right now. But I still really want to see particularly Tosh Baker challenged by the Notre Dame defense when we see that session the penultimate Saturday before the spring game.
Notre Dame will break for a week for Easter. We will break for one day before the Irish Illustrated Insider podcast tomorrow. But you guys will be back next week to watch another partial segment of practice. And as JB noted, April 13th should be a good one, which should be a full scrimmage. And that is when we can answer a lot of questions about the lines, the running backs, the linebackers, and all the physicality that you don't get to see as much. I mentioned to Priester, we were walking out. I was like, this is going to be a physical practice we're walking out of. I can tell the way they warmed everything up. Yeah. They were getting ready to hit. That happened without us. But that's it this time for Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis. We'll be back with a podcast tomorrow. For Tim Priester of Irish Illustrated, John Bryce of Irish Illustrated, and footballscoop.com, I'm Tim O'Malley. Thanks for joining us.